Well, amen. Good morning. Glad that you have chosen to worship with us today. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, in preparation for our message today. And today, I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, Your Second Family. And it is an exciting day for us as a church family today. We've been trying to build a lot of momentum, a lot of curiosity, and some of it's already been spoiled a little bit because many of you have seen or heard or we're wearing the logo on a few shirts today. But for the last several months, really been working on this project to release a new logo and work toward that. And so this morning we want to show that to you, and you've already seen a little bit of it here on the backdrop. But before we put it up on the screen, this is what I want you to see, hear, know, and understand. When we began talking about this and went to Brant and had this conversation about designing a new logo, I wanted to make really clear that our new logo, we want it to, yes, reach forward, to look, to reach out in our community, to be contemporary, if you will. But equally as important is we wanted to acknowledge the sacrifice and hard work that has gone through the years to make Second Baptist what Second Baptist is. And we wanted something that represented our church and our church family and looking forward to growing and making an impact and increasing and enlarging the family, okay? And so as you see this morning, I hope you understand, many of you in this room, we are here, many who have gone on, man, just a minute ago, that line that waiting for the day when the war is over. Well, one day when we get in the presence of God, and it seems like recently there's been more saints entering into the presence of God at a higher clip than what seems for me to remember. But I know many who have gone on to be in the presence of God, who have sacrificed and have done so much to make Second Baptist what Second Baptist is. And many of you sitting in this room, and I need you to understand this morning, as we talk about pressing ahead, we talk about this second family, this is not a trampling on and stepping on your head, but it's rather, I want you to understand, it's a standing on your shoulders. That we are able to do the work and the ministry. We are able to press on because we are standing on your shoulders of your hard labor, your hard work, and your sacrifice for this family. And so we wanted this logo to be indicative, represent who we are as a church family and how we want to represent ourselves in the community and to the nations. And so we're going to put the logo, and we've got this second family that's up here. And there's the logo and all of itself, and everybody went, ooh, and ah, and all that kind of thing. So good job. I'm proud of you. But I know in some ways people go, man, what a really big deal, that kind of thing. But I really believe this is just an important time for us to, in this midst of a COVID season, and what do things look like, and how does this, just trying to figure out this difficult season, that we can build on this as we talk about this progress and things that are going on. This morning we're going to look at the text, and in combination with this logo, you're going to hear probably ad nauseum, because we believe it's already accurate of our church, is the idea of Second Baptist, your second family. And this morning I want you to hear that. You're going to hear it a lot. You're going to hear it, Lord willing, from the text, to see it in the text. But then I hope you understand, as a church family, as we work hard to talk about this, to apply this to our lives. And so before we move on to that, I do want to say a special thank you to Brant. He has worked incredibly hard, and appreciate him giving his time and treasure. And maybe more importantly than that, I appreciate his family, who has endured all the changes and him talking about it and all that. So they probably have given a lot, so because I know he was excited to be a part of it. So with that, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. So if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. I pray, God, that this morning that Christ would be exalted, that you would give me clarity and boldness to preach the Word of God as thus saith the Lord. And God, I pray that we would see the value of church and church family this morning. And God, I pray you would hide me behind your cross, fill me with your Spirit. God, I pray you would speak to every individual in this room, everyone who is connected online. And Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, this morning from the text, I want you to see this. We're going to jump right in. There are two major key points I want us to look at, and then the second one will have some sub-points. But if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea of the text is this, is that Jesus is the foundation of our family. Jesus is the foundation of our family. And I'm using family and church interchangeably this morning. And when I say church, I'm talking about the local church. That is the gathered body of believers. And so if we're going to fulfill the mission and purpose that Jesus has for Second Baptist, we've got to understand that Jesus is the foundation of our family. He's the foundation of our church. And so the question I have for you this morning is, Second Baptist, your church family? Is it your church family? And we're going to unpack this a little bit more in understanding the fullness of what it means to be a part, what it means to have community and to be bought in, if you will, to a church and not just be on the outskirts looking in, and the importance of a church family. And so, number one, very simply from the text this morning, we are a family. We are a family. So your second family is much more than a slogan or a hashtag. It's our identity. It's who we are. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. He's writing to a Gentile group. He is not writing to a Jewish audience here and talking to them, but rather he is combining, he is bringing, helping them understand that they have been brought into the fold. So he says, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but look, fellow citizens with the saints and members of, here it is, circle this, household of God. So Paul is writing this letter, and he is writing to a local church, the church at Philippi. And he is writing to a group of believers and helping them understand that they've always understood that maybe they were outlookers, they were outsiders looking in, they couldn't be a part. And so he's writing to them and he's helping them to understand that because of what Jesus has done, you are not some foreigner, you're not some stranger, you're not some secondary citizen, but rather because of the work and salvation that Christ brings and the adoption that happens because of that, then he says, you are a part of. You are a citizen. You are entitled to all the rights and all the positions and all the things that come along with that because you are part of the household, the church, the family of God. Listen to me, Second Baptist. As you come and we agree about what we believe and why we're here and our mission and vision, as we have surrendered our heart and life to Christ because what Jesus has done, this is what separates us from any other organization that you're a part of. Is that because based on the work of Christ, we are bonded together. We are bound together. We are family. We see this. Paul uses this sort of language many times throughout his other writings. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, but if I'm delayed, I write to you that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself. Here it is, in the house of God. He's writing to a young pastor telling him, here's how you ought to live. Here's how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, in the church, which is, because he defines it, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Ephesians 1:5, if we were to back up a chapter from our main text this morning, having predestined us to adoptions, here's the language, as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 5:1, but be imitators of God as dear children. There's the language again. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 and 2. Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, all with all purity. So what's happening here? He is defining the household of God, that the church is the household of God, and then he uses this familial language, this language of the family. And we've got to understand the importance of this, and it's in the context of the local church. Why is that important? Because we've got to understand Jesus does not call anybody to Lone Ranger Christianity. There's no such thing as an isolated Christian. There's no such thing as a Christian out there on their own and not in need of a church family. You cannot, will not, you won't do it. Find an example of that in the Scripture. It is tied to the New Testament local church. And so Jesus, if he has saved you, he has called you to be a part of a family. And at the point of salvation, the Spirit of God came in. He adopted you. He called you to be a part of a local church. And that's why we are Second Baptist, your second family. And there are people in our community who need family. They need to be born again. And when they are born again, they will be adopted in, and they need a church family. Now listen. It doesn't mean we're not going to have our warts. It doesn't mean we're not going to have our issues. Now, I know it's hard for you to believe because your family's perfect, your biological family. But my family, we've got a few crazy folks in our family. I know you don't have that. You can't relate. I mean, you don't have the quirky uncle. You don't have the cousin that's always got everybody stressed out. You don't have the crazy aunt. I'll be really careful because some of my family could be watching this morning. But we got a few of those, all right? Matter of fact, John and I was thinking earlier, a couple years ago, Miguel, one of our teenagers, playing football, and we went over to Pottsville to watch him play. And I'm sitting there, and I look down, and I recognize somebody sitting on the front row. And I tap Jonathan. I realize my cousin is cheering for the Pottsville cheer squad there. And my crazy aunt is sitting on the front row. And I tapped Jonathan and said, you can ask it. Hey, that's my crazy aunt right there, okay? So I go down and I visit with her, all that kind of thing. And we're talking. And so I go back and we get in the van and we're leaving. True story. We're leaving and she's standing over by her vehicle. And I rolled down my window and I said, hey, there's my crazy aunt. Honest witness, she goes, hey! She embraces it. She enjoys it. So, and she could be watching this morning. So hopefully, I won't call her by name, but she may comment. She may embrace it this morning. We have those things in our biological families. And listen, that's part of the church family too, that sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard. Family is not always easy. Family doesn't always get along. But listen, in the house of God, we realize we have one Father and one mission, and we are cooperating together in all of our quirkiness and saying there is a greater purpose in which we are binding together, that I may connect with my brothers and sisters, that I may find community, I may find a sense of belonging and purpose that I can't find anywhere else on my own or any other organization, but rather we collect together for the mission and purpose in which God has created us for in your second family. Hey, listen. The importance of the community and connection that we have cannot be overstated. My greatest deepest, most important relationships in my life to this day have virtually all come from church family. From church family. We're going to look at this a little bit more, but you need to understand that the importance of community, and this is one of the things that COVID has robbed us of, is the ability to fellowship, the ability to serve in a way that we once have, and that sense of community. Because we are like-minded, driven with purpose, fulfilling a mission, and there is a connection that is beyond this world, that is supernatural because of the work and Spirit of God. And so I want you to see this morning, I need you to understand that this morning, Second Baptist Church, we are family. We've got some family members that are online. We've got some family members who, because of health reasons and other concerns, they're not able to join us yet. We've got some family members that have gone on to heaven, and we've got some that are amongst us waiting to jump in and be a part of the family. But we are family. Number two, here's where we get that drive, that purpose. Number two, we are family for the kingdom. We are family for the kingdom, and there are three subpoints to this. A, there's a base to our family. There's a base. And so look at verse 20. He says, having been built on the foundation, there it is, circle that, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being our chief cornerstone. So there's a multifaceted understanding to this I need to see. We're going to deal with the end part, Jesus Christ Himself being a cornerstone. You may underline that word. That's a key word in this text. And what I need you to understand is that in this, it's still used this way, but the basic understanding idea of a cornerstone was that it was a stone that went in the corner of a building. I know that's really creative, right? Cornerstone and goes in the corner of a building. And to connect where two walls come together at a perfect right angle. And so what's the idea then is that the cornerstone then sets in order to give everything else plumb, to make it right, to put it in right order, and to make it proper. That's the idea that in the building. And so this is what Paul is saying in the way that the cornerstone sets everything else right in the building, then Jesus is the one that sets everything right for the church of God. That He is our chief cornerstone. And so we have a base this morning. First of all, our base is Jesus and Jesus alone. That's why we pray, God, in everything, I pray You'll be exalted, that we lift high the name of Jesus, because listen, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved except in the name of Jesus. There is no other person, no other God in which we ought to lift up except for Jesus. Second Baptist Church ought to be a Jesus church. And so He says He is our chief, number one, numero uno, number one chief cornerstone, period. And everything we are as a church, everything we are as a church family, first must be set in order of Jesus. He is the one that determines it. And so how do we do that? He gives us the second base of our family. And notice in the first part of the text in verse 20, having been built on the foundation, the apostles and the prophets. The apostles and the prophets. And you may just jot this down in the margin. Here's the base, and just real simple, real short, the base of our church, Jesus and the Word. Jesus and the Word of God. Now, it feels a little bit repetitive because John chapter 1, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the Word. And so here's what you need to know and understand this morning is that you can't know Jesus apart from the Word. And you can't know the Word apart from Jesus. So as we grow together, we agree together, we teach. Here's some fundamental ideas of what we believe. We hold to what we call the Baptist faith and message. It is a series of statements that we say we believe this as a church family. But listen, I don't believe anything about the Baptist faith and message, only except what it teaches is accurate according to the Word of God. Does that make sense? The Baptist Faith and Message isn't our core beliefs. It's just a simple statement that we've collected together that comes from the Word of God, that we believe the Bible. And we believe this is what the Bible teaches. And this is what is core to who we are and what we believe. Because here's the deal. The Southern Baptist Convention, the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, any other thing doesn't set in order our church and our gathering together in this family, but rather the Bible does. This is why it's important. This is why I encourage you to have some version, some copy of the Bible when you come. Because, listen, I want you to listen and take in the preaching of the Word and go, man, does that line up with the Word of God? Because I ought to be held accountable, and I will one day when I step into eternity. Have I preached, have I taught the Word of God accurately? Ought to be true in our Sunday school classes. It ought to be the true way we do carry out ministry and what we gather for. Our base, our foundation is the Bible and Jesus. Not the other church down the road. Not the latest trend. Not the latest book. Now hear me, understand. I try to be a learner. So I've got friends all over that I call and talk to and try to listen to advice, but it has to line up with the Word of God. We see this from the earliest establishment of the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2, 42. It says they continued steadfastly, listen, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. You know that apostles' doctrine? That's as much as they had the Word. Isaiah 28, 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion, the holy city, a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. He's talking about Jesus. And then we have an better understanding of that in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. He says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, come to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Get the picture there? That we are being built up as a house, but Jesus is the cornerstone. Remember, cornerstone sets everything right and in order. So He is the cornerstone. Then as we come, join together, when we build off that cornerstone, we will be built right and in order. So you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders reject have become the chief cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the Word to which they also were appointed. Church family, you have to know this. Jesus is not our weapon to offend people, but you've got to understand that when we uphold Jesus and we make much of Him and much of His Word, it will be offensive. People were offended at Jesus in His day. Now listen to me. We don't go out of our way to me get in the way so that I'm offensive. There's a difference in me trying to do things in the name of Christianity and being offensive and then me living sold out for Christ and people being offended by that. Two different things. But we've got to understand that Jesus He's our chief cornerstone. He's the one that we run to. He's the one that we align ourselves with. And so, there's a base to our family. B, there's a building of the family, a building up of the family. Look at verse 21. Remember, he just told us this cornerstone analogy, this picture, in whom the whole building being fitted together, look, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And we got to look back to the Old Testament, maybe to have this picture, this understanding that when the Hebrews came out of the land of Egypt and they built a tabernacle because they were not yet firmly planted in their nation. This is this temporary look. But the tabernacle represented the presence of God, that's where they worship God, the manifest presence of God would be there. And they could visually see the presence of God there. Then they move into the land of Israel. There they build the temple. And the temple was a permanent setting because they had inherited the land. They had located where God had led them to and given them the promised land. So they build the temple. Here's the blessing of God. Here's where we worship God. Here's the manifest presence of God. And the Spirit of God would come on men and women, come on people and use them for His glory and His kingdom. Then Jesus comes, He sacrifices Himself, dies on the cross, raised from the grave. Then when He was raised, the Spirit of God comes and something changed where now as a believer, when I surrender my heart and life to Christ, that as an individual believer, there's this indwelling of the Spirit of God, but there's something supernatural that happens when we bind together as a church family, that the manifest presence of God takes place when the people of God gather together in what we call the church. And that's what's happening. That's what he is pointing to here, is that this Jesus is our cornerstone. So when we set our house in order, our family in order, according to Jesus and His Word, there's this building up, this fitting together. I love that picture. We're going to talk a little bit more about this as this people bring different giftings and different ability, but this fitting together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. He is writing this to a New Testament church. Not to a bunch of individual Christians. Why is that important? Because you by yourself, you don't have everything that you need to grow into the fully mature Christian that God desires for you to be. What do you need? You need a family. As you surrender and you grow and you bind together with believers. It's within the church family that God chooses and ordains and set aside to grow us into the mature believers that He has called us to be a part of. This being fit together. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is head. Head of what? The church, Christ. From whom the whole body joined, notice this, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Colossians 2:19, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. So do you get this picture that He is taking the human body as a picture of the body of Christ? That is the local church. Why is He doing that? What He's doing, He is pointing to individual parts and some of them seemingly insignificant parts and talking about the importance of that to the body. Listen to me, lean in, look really close this morning. Is there are no insignificant parts of the kingdom of God, of the family of God. Every person that God has called here to be a part of Second Baptist, for it to be your second family, you are vital. You are crucial. You are important. You matter. Every part. When part is missing, when people aren't serving the Lord the way God's called them to, when people are out, it hurts the family. Now, is God bigger than us and certainly can accomplish His will? And absolutely. But He wants to use Second Baptist in a way that you and I never imagined. And I am a dependent on you and you are dependent on me because we are family. Our kids get by pretty easy most of the time. They're a lot of fun to be around, but we are slowly adding to their chore list, right? As they get a little older, a little more physically able. And, you know, there's some balance there where, like, you give children chores, but you decide, is it really worth it? Because of the stress, because of all that goes along. But as we're adding to, okay? So our kids, 6, 8, and 10 right now. And so one of their chores, and I don't know why we do this to ourselves, but sometimes we do, the dishwasher needs to be unloaded, okay? And for whatever reason, we've chosen to make it a group effort. Not the best plan. But here's why we make it a group effort. Because nobody, no one of our kids can accomplish unloading and putting up the dishes. Okay? Isaac, bless his little heart, he's not quite tall enough to reach much in the kitchen right now, okay? And he's not really strong enough to get the heavy pots and put them on the bottom. So Isaac's responsibility, he gets the silverware out. Man, he slays putting the silverware up. He's got it. That's his part. Jeremiah will get the heavier stuff that goes down low, all right? And then Katie will get the other things that go up a little bit higher. But here's where it gets fun, is that she can't put the things on the very high shelf. And you would think, well, they just leave. Sometimes they get left. But sometimes Jeremiah, he crawls up on the counter, is standing full-footed up on the counter, putting them up, right? Takes all of them. Family. Takes every one of us. Every single one of us. Pardon the cheesiness, but we need folks putting up the silverware. We need folks doing whatever you can in your part in what God has gifted you to do. God maybe has gifted you to open a door like nobody's business. Right now, maybe God has gifted you to smile with your eyes, and we need you greeting people at the front. Maybe God has gifted you to serve in the background. He's gifted you with your hands to build or fix things, whatever it is. Do you see this in the text this morning, that He has fitted us together? Here's what I'm crazy enough to believe, and I hope you believe this morning, is I believe that God knows exactly what this church needs, and He's leading the people here to fulfill exactly what God has for us. Because that's what the Spirit of God does, and that's what the bride of Christ is here for. And so there is a building of the family. And then C, there's a blessing of the family. So we talked about a base, we talked about the building, now the blessing. Verse 22. In whom, talking about Jesus, you also are being built together. Did you catch it? Together? Built together. For a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So there's this individuality of knowing that Jesus saved me. I have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, but He fits us together, part of the family, and He brings us together. He builds us together that the manifest presence of God may be there. Notice the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is what I believe. This is the importance of us gathering together in worship, gathering together in service, gathering together in fellowship, because God does things supernaturally when the family gets together. Some of y'all didn't catch that this morning. God does something supernatural that He does in no other way, no other time than when the family gets together. Some of y'all still don't believe it, but I'll move on. I'm not happy about it. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, if you read the book of Acts, you see some incredible movements of God, and it's when the church gets together and serves and studies the Word, spends time in fellowship, spends time in prayer, God works in incredible ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. Remember, this is written to a New Testament church. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And he says later in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them. Notice them, and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen, there is something that the importance of church family, of getting away from this Lone Ranger Christianity that I don't need church. I can worship God down by the creek bank just as well as I can in church. Yeah, okay, maybe you can sing your song and read your Bible and God will speak and God will move. Absolutely, but I'm here to tell you the strongest times I've met with God have been with the people of God, not away from them. The strongest encounters of the Spirit of God being present in worship has been when the people of God have been genuine, singing out worship to God. Hey, let me tell you, you want to know the thing that I miss, probably number one, miss the most while we were strictly online, and we're still doing online. I'm grateful to have that avenue and that venue, and that's a healthy thing. But I'm going to tell you what, personally, what I missed most was sitting right there during our time of singing and listening to you sing. Hearing the people of God worship. Sing unto God. There's something supernatural that happens when we gather together and that God does. And because of all this, because we have a foundation that's in Christ and we set ourselves in order, and it's Jesus and the Word. And because we are being built together and because there's a supernatural blessing of God, listen to this, you may write it down. No one outlocals the local church. No one outlocals, what do I mean by that? That nobody, no other organization, no other entity, nothing else out there other than Second Baptist Church, your second family, can fulfill the mission and purpose that God has for this church at 1100 North Frankfort Avenue. Let me further illustrate. I was in seminary. And around 2010 or 2011, and a friend of mine had gone somewhere, and he came back, and he had gotten in a conversation, a spiritual conversation, trying to share the gospel with somebody. And they talked about, they went to church. And so my friend asked about it and said, "Oh yeah, Dr. Adrian Rogers is my pastor." Well, that was interesting because Dr. Rogers had went to be with the Lord several years before that. Now let me be really careful, okay? Because I know I'm a Dr. Adrian Rogers fan. One of God's choice men. I know still preaching all over the radio. You know, sermons are still there and all that kind of thing. Love Worth Finding, what an incredible ministry. That person had no idea that their pastor was gone. They weren't a part of Bellevue Baptist Church. Adrian Rogers was a preacher to them, but he wasn't their pastor. Why? Because there is something supernatural about the local gathered body of believers. And there's something that happens when we bind together. And we commit, this is what we believe, this is why we believe it, and this is our mission, and this is how we're going to carry it out. And we do it locally, and we do it abroad. Now, I'm grateful. There's all kinds of platforms out there. There's all kinds of ways to get in preaching or teaching in the Word of God. Those things are good. I'm not jumping on those things, but I am telling you this. The radio, television, social media, whatever it is, they can't out-local the local church. And I'm talking about the national level, right? I'm talking about the one, the famous name, you fit it in. Because when things happen in your life, when messiness comes, and you need brothers and sisters to gather around you. You need those that God has called to serve the local church. You need that. Those national platforms, those national names are not coming. But it was the church family that gathered around me on August 19, 2005 when my mom died. It was the local church that gathered around us when Katie Beth came into the world. No one can out-local the local church. And so, we are a family, but we are a family with a purpose: to serve the kingdom of God, to expand the kingdom of God. Yes, we've got our warts and we've got our all that kind of thing. But our base is Jesus and the Word. Our building is that He has called us together. He has fitted us together. We need your gifts. We need your talent. All those things to come and to serve and fulfill this great commission in which Jesus has left for us. And know this, church, when we gather together, rather for worship or for mission or whatever it is, that there is this incredible blessing where the Spirit of God anoints that and blesses that. And He does it for His kingdom and His glory. And so, first of all, today, I've talked a lot about when you surrender your heart and life to Jesus, the Spirit of God comes and lives in you. That only happens when you're born again, when you've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus. And the question this morning of that is, have you come to the place where you've fully surrendered your heart and life to Jesus as Lord and boss and master of your life? Because listen, you can't actually fully join the family of God without being born again, without surrendering your heart and life to Jesus. And so that's where you begin today. Secondly, those of you that do know Christ, have you really bought in Second Baptist as your second family? Some of you have been a member for a long time. And man, you've sacrificed, you've given that this is your family. Sometimes people join stuff and they don't really put both feet in. You know, we went through the motions, we did all the right things, but we kind of got one foot in and one foot out. I realize we're in a difficult season. It's hard. And understanding this, please understand this, whether online or in person, I'm not kicking anybody for not being here in person during this season. I realize there's some real hardships, some real things that some people got to guard against. And some of you here just recently been able to start coming because maybe things change or whatever it is. Please understand, I'm not kicking anybody for that. Being a part of the family is much more than just checking an attendance box. It has to be. So how is it that God's calling you to plug in to the family? Some of you stirring you up to join. Some of you just being more committed, more faithful. What is it God's doing in your heart and in your life? Let's pray. God, I love and adore you. I thank you for your goodness and grace. God, thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And I pray this morning for anybody who does not yet know Christ, has not surrendered their heart and life to you, I pray they'd do it today. God, I pray they'd call out on you in this moment and ask for that salvation and repent, place their faith and trust in you. And if that's you this morning, you can pray something like this. Say, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. I give everything to you. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll be what you want me to be. God, help me to live for you." God, I pray in the next few moments as we respond to this challenge of your second family, I pray, God, you would help us to be fully committed, bought in, and serve in the way that you've called us to. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are and all that you do. You just take a moment of prayer, time of response. If you need to come to the front here and spend a moment in prayer, you're certainly welcome to do that. Need somebody to pray with you? I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you pray for your neighbor, pray for your friend, pray for Somebody who's had a hard time connecting. Lord, we love you and we're grateful for all that you are and all that you do. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be this family that the Bible teaches. That we would love one another well, we would serve one another well. And we'd seek to bind together to fulfill the mission and purpose in which you've called us to. So God, I pray that we would see and understand each and every individual matter to this body of believers, to this family. God, I pray that you would be glorified in all that we say and do. Help us to be a church that loves and exalts Jesus and that fulfills the mission according to the Bible. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Stand and sing with us before the throne of God.
My Savior and my my Savior and my God.
All right, well, just a couple things before we dismiss, a couple things I need to tell you about. First of all, we are excited about what the Lord is doing here, and we realize it is a different season, different time, but here's what we want to do. We want to lay out a challenge before you. It will take everybody, all right? And so there's a table, if you'll excuse my pointing, on my right, your left, at the back. And on that table, you will find a stack of cards like this. They're just really small business cards. It's got our new logo on one side, and on the back side, it has "You're Invited" with a little bit of information there, okay? So, it is 5 weeks until Easter. So, my challenge to you as Second Baptist family is to extend 1,000 personal invitations between now and Easter, all right? I know it. That's a lofty goal. That's exciting, right? Some of you fired up. Some of you just tune me out. So there you have it. But nonetheless, there are cards. They're divided in stacks of 10. My challenge to you is personal invitations. Now, you invite however you want to do it, but I'm encouraging you, that's 1,000 people, okay? Over the next 5 weeks, you know, we roughly have 75 this morning, so if you'll do 4 a week for the next 5 weeks, we'll be right there on top of it, okay? So it's not as lofty as what it may seem if everybody will do it. So this will take the whole family join together. There you go. All right. And then the other thing we're going to do, we're going to help you track because we want to celebrate with you as you're faithful to invite. I don't know what these things are called, decorative gem or glass gem. I don't know what it's called. This, like, flat marble. Right? It's not a marble at all. But there's a bucket of these or a jar of these back there. And so next week as you come in, you invite 10 people, take 10 of them, drop them over in the other one. We're just going to celebrate along the way that we're excited to be a part of the second family, and we want other people to be a part of our family as well. Okay? So take these cards, use them. However many you'll think you'll use, I hope that you use those. And then, you know, we put these physical cards together. I realize people do a lot of things socially and digitally, all that kind of thing. Even a text is fine. You don't have to use the card. We put the cards there. Hey, be mindful. You know, go when you go eat, leave one for your waiter or waitress, or go through the drive-thru, invite somebody at Walt, whatever it is, be creative, do that, and just say, hey, we're excited about our second family, want to invite you to our service, okay? It's got the information online, where we're located, time for the service, all right? The other thing I want to tell you about, and then we'll talk about our giving moment as we leave, is there's also these small little booklets or journals on that back table. I know you can't read this, but this is CSB, Christian Standard Bible, Scripture Notebook for the book of Hebrews. Next week, Lord willing, we'll begin preaching through the book of Hebrews. And so what we've done is we've purchased these. We have those on the back table free to you. We ask that just take one per person if you're going to use it, okay? And what it is on one side there is the text, the CSB text, which I'll be preaching from that translation through the book of Hebrews. And then on the other side, there's some blank lines. And so we just thought a different way for you to engage and really take notes if that's your sort of thing, and some people it's not, and that's okay. But we thought it might be a neat thing that as I preach through the book of Hebrews, I don't know if there'll be good notes, but you'll have some notes for later study, okay? Or to go, that was terrible, don't use that whenever you need to go through Hebrews, all right? But you're welcome to take one of those. We'll try to have those available for the next several weeks as you wish, okay? All right? All right, as we leave this morning, we do have some of our men that are there with an offering plate. If you're a guest and you filled out one of those cards, drop that in that offering plate as you leave. We're grateful to connect with you. You just pray however the Lord leads you to give. We will start our Annie Armstrong Easter offering next week with that goal of $4,600. We'll have the envelopes and all the information that you need out and available, probably on the other table that's there, okay? All right, well, let me pray, and then you will be dismissed. Lord, you are gracious and kind and wonderful. We thank you for your love and affection toward us. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. God, thank you that you have called this family together. And I pray that we continue to serve you well and serve you for the kingdom. God, I pray that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to your name. I pray that we would give in such a way that would advance the kingdom. God, protect us as we travel home. Help us to serve you well this week. And we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's stand. We are going to sing through one time, at least together. Family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this far. For I'm part of the family.